In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the text that we have before us this morning is one of the most well-known and well-loved of all the texts, of all the passages that we read in the whole Bible. Everything that pertains to us and our salvation is included in that beautiful proclamation of John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We go on to read the next verse, "For he sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus says, "Just as the serpent was lifted up by Moses in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." You read that story of Moses lifting up that serpent in the wilderness, you'll notice what happened was that the people had complained. This was the second time that they complained and said, "Why in the world, Moses, did you lead us here? We were living in a land flowing with milk and honey in Egypt." They were under servitude. They were being so mistreated. But when they look back, they complain because at the moment they had a hard time finding water. And they were getting sick and tired of that manna. And they said, "Moses, you have brought us out here. We had it so much better where we were in Egypt." And they were ready to take care of Moses and to get rid of him. And God became so upset with them, because the one whom God had chosen to lead them out of slavery, out of bondage, into the promised land, was the very one that they were rejecting. And so, as it is often with us, we need to have God bring us to our senses, and often that happens when we suffer. And so God sent these serpents, these snakes, and they were biting people, and people were getting, they were dying. And so they said, "Okay, we're sorry, you know, Moses, what can you do?" And so God said, "You know, make a serpent of bronze and set it up on a pole, which represents the cross. And anyone who is bitten, if they'll just look at that serpent, they will be healed." And they were. We are all people in the same lot. We have been bit by the serpent, Satan. And unless we look to him who is lifted up on the cross, we have no hope. We will die. But God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, not to condemn us in our sin. He sent him to save us. The sad thing is that the very one who was sent, the very one who was sent by God in his love to be our Savior, is rejected by so many. And these are ones who continue under the condemnation of the fall. Not because God means to condemn them. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn, but to save. Jesus did not come to judge and condemn. It says it again. Jesus said that same thing again in John chapter 12. Verse 47, "I did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world," said Jesus. You know, we are told in other passages, though, that the very presence of Jesus causes men to judge themselves. We are judged, we are under condemnation. Jesus says in other places that he did come to judge. Listen to this. I came into this world for judgment. Again, in John 5, the Father hath given all judgment to the Son. How do we bring those two things together? I want to leave you this morning with that simple truth that the cross, which we adore today as the forefeast, and tomorrow is the feast of the elevation of the cross, that cross is an instrument of judgment. But it's not a cross to kill us. It's a cross of God's judgment against sin and against death. Yes, Jesus came into this world for judgment. But love and judgment come together on the cross. Jesus went around healing the sick. And how did he do that? He came and healed the sick in love by judging sickness. He cast out the germs and the bacteria that were attacking people in order to bring them to health. In love, Christ cast out demons. And how did he do that? By judging those demons, he cast them out. In authority and power, he confronted our enemy at every point, and he judged that enemy, and he destroyed the enemy. And the cross is the epitome of our sin, and it is the greatest demonstration of God's love. On the cross, Christ confronted our greatest enemy, which is death. And on the cross, by his death, he destroyed death and has brought life to mankind. So, people of God, why do we love the cross? Because on the cross, the love of God is manifest. And on the cross, Christ destroyed death and has brought us to life. If you ever wonder, does God really love me? Where do you look to be shown the love of God? On the cross. On the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that all who believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He brings life through the cross. Remember, Thomas said that he wasn't going to believe until he saw the marks of the cross in Jesus' body. The Apostle Paul glories in the stigma of Jesus Christ. The stigma. The Apostle Paul could even say, I bear in my body the stigmata of the Lord Jesus Christ. The stigma are the marks of Christ's crucifixion, and they are the marks of honor and glory. When Thomas saw those marks, when Thomas saw the stigmata, the stigma of the cross in Christ's body, he believed. He said, my Lord and my God. If you ever doubt the love of God, look at the marks on the hands of Jesus and the mark of the spear in his side. The priest at every divine liturgy kisses the marks of the cross on the antimony. They are the stigma of Christ. Christ's love for you and for me. It's at the very heart of every time we come for worship. It's at the very heart of our worship, at the very heart of our adoration and love for God. It's right there on the antimony. It's Christ crucified and risen, who gives life to the world through the glorious cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.